custody may have used drugs. Underage drinking in this country down over the past decade. Many Americans finally upped their spending last month.
They bought a lot of cars and bought a lot of everything. So it feels like consumers are finally starting to spend some of their savings on their gasoline bills. We've been waiting for that.
Economist Mark Zandi, retail sales up 1.2% in May. Interesting survey by Career Builder on what might be hurting productivity where you work.
The strangest thing you've ever seen a coworker do on the job? One person said a sponge bath in the bathroom sink, searching the internet for a mail order bride or for cat videos. Or there's the guy who decided to fly a drone around the office. All of these responses to the non-scientific survey by Career Builder that says cell phones followed by the internet distract us more than anything else on the job, compromising the quality of work by 45%.
Hello, Peter. What's happening?
Then again, coworkers dropping by and meetings also make the list.
That would be great.
Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
Southeastern Colorado, a dust storm caused a multi-vehicle accident, 2 fatalities plus injuries. More severe thunderstorms today from Colorado to Michigan. You're listening to ABC News.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
It takes a lot of courage to face your own death, but I'm glad I finally did. See, I was putting off getting life insurance to protect my family, even though I knew it was important. Then my neighbor's husband died. I watched her struggle emotionally and financially. It really made me face reality. If my husband died, how would I pay the mortgage, the car payments, or keep up the life the kids and I had? I realized I needed to get us life insurance right away. So I called AIG Direct. In less than 5 minutes, I had a quote. I was shocked at how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. I feel so much better knowing my family has protection.
Call AIG Direct right now for a free no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes and you can save up to 70%. Call now, 1-800-553-8066. That's 1-800-553-8066. 1-800-553-8066.
Recent hacking of government computers, personal info of millions of federal workers, hackers in China might be targeting Chinese nationals.
When you deal in sensitive national security for the U.S. government, which requires a high-level security clearance, you must list all of your foreign contacts, people you know or deal with around the world. Those may be friends, diplomats, some who might be helping the U.S. government. So the suspected Chinese hackers could now have a list of all of those names and use the information to blackmail or threaten their own people.
ABC News Chief Global Affairs Correspondent Martha Raddatz. If you haven't already, you should soon be getting new credit cards in the mail. Banks in this country finally catching up to Europe, making cards less vulnerable to scammers.
You may already have the metal chips installed on your new credit cards. The banks say keeping account information on the card's new high-security chip rather than the magnetic strip will keep criminals from duplicating the cards. Soon at retailers, rather than swiping a card at the register, you'll have to dip it into a machine. Much like an ATM, banks hope to have half of the magnetic strip credit and debit cards replaced by the end of the year. Ryan Burrow, ABC News.
Minnesota small pepper producer suing Giant McCormick, claiming it misled customers by secretly cutting the amount of pepper in its tins by 25% without reducing the price, says its suit. Nothing to sneeze at. This is ABC News.
Do you freak out every time you break out? Try Proactiv. There's a huge reason Proactiv is the number one acne treatment. It totally works. For just $19.95, you'll get Proactiv and a rotating deep cleansing brush. A $45 value, yours free. For only $19.95, you're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear or your money back. Here's the number, 1-800-644-5944. Call now for a lifetime of beautiful skin. 1-800-644-5944.
Doug Limerick, ABC News.
WTBQ weather.
It'll get more humid as we go through the day. Showers and a thunderstorm are possible today as temperatures head to the upper 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, humid with a lower 60s. Tomorrow, look for clouds and some sunshine, rather warm and humid again, with showers and thunderstorms during the afternoon. We'll see a high back to the upper 80s. Far night, a few more showers or thunderstorms around. It'll remain sticky, low in the mid-60s. And for Saturday, look for clouds and sun. It'll be warm and humid. Chance of shower or thunderstorm in the afternoon and a high in the middle 80s. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Salimo.
The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation.
WTBQ. Good morning and welcome to Health Matters. My name is Peter Feller. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. Joining us this morning is my wife, Ann Feller, who is the Regional Director of Patient Services at A&T Healthcare, as well as the Director of Quality Assurance. Say good morning, Ann, to our listening audience.
Good morning, everyone.
And today we have a wonderful guest. We have a doctor here. We have Dr. Susan Sobel, who has her doctorate in physical therapy, and that'll be one of the topics that we'll be talking about. And she's a clinical supervisor at A&T also. Say good morning,
Susan. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for having me here.
Okay, that's great. One of the things, as we always say, I want to thank our listening audience from WTBQ so that we're able to be part of your Thursday morning. It means a lot, and the importance of this show is that we want to educate you. We're from A&T Healthcare. We're a home healthcare agency. We have offices in beautiful Orange County, located in Newburgh. We have it up in Kingston in Ulster County, as well as our corporate offices in Rockland County in New City. And we have an office in New York City, along with Westchester County, and there is one in New Jersey. So we really are all over the Hudson Valley, and we're providing excellent home care services. Before we get started, I want to make sure that we understand it, but we're very excited to introduce, we have a new Facebook page. This is what's important, A&T Healthcare LLC. We will be updating it daily with pictures, videos, and important information, as well as news and upcoming events to offer a more interactive home healthcare experience. This is the technology. This is where we have to be in. But please feel free to visit us on our page and our likes and give us a rating. If Andrew and Nicole are listening, I ask, could you just see how many likes we have right now on our Facebook page? And I want to see it increase as the day progresses. Give us a rating. And please, as I say, visit our website. It's always available. What's our lexicon now? Google this. Just Google A&T Healthcare. And you can see our website as well as connecting with us on Facebook. And really, we would love you to become a part of our healthcare family. It'd be very important. Really enjoyed a lot of good information that's there. I just want to say one of the things that we are going to be having on our Facebook is that we're going to be, we're in the process of doing that. All these radio broadcasts that we have done, we are going to have them accessible on our Facebook page. And we will have it broken down as to the different topics. Really, we've had wonderful topics. I know Alzheimer's disease we had last year. We had one on advanced directives. But a lot of times you may have something that's coming up. And today we're going to be talking about with physical therapy. And this is a chance where maybe you're not scheduled for any kind of surgery, be it hip replacement or knee replacement, but maybe sometime down the road or someone else that may be having it done, you can always use it as a reference. You can always use it as a reference that you'll be able to listen to it. And that's one of the things that's important, that this is the technology and let's use it to our best advantage. One thing, we still go back to the basics. I did the Nanuet Street Fair this past Sunday. And as I say, street fairs are always a lot of fun. And there was, I think there was like 1,200 people. It was really well attended. And I know we had a lot of giveaways. And, people have a lot of questions about what home care is. And a lot of times they're just kind of saying, gee, I don't have the problem now, but I can see it in the future or something like that. And that's one of the things that I always stress about A&T Healthcare, is that we are available. If you have any questions that may be happening, it's something that we can discuss with you and see, gee, maybe this is maybe lead you in the right direction. If it isn't something that we're able to help at this particular time, we can help you out with different services. But I just know that... the radio show has been a lot of fun. We had a board meeting last night, Ann, and I just going over the list, I was very happy to say that just about everyone in the room had either been on our show or had called into our show. And I always encourage if they have any ideas. But then I remember I said, now, if you come to me and say, Peter, I think this would be a great idea for a show, I'm probably going to ask you to be on the show, so be careful what you wish for. Isn't that what they...
One of our nurses did pipe in and she said, oh, I want to be on the show. I'll come up with a topic. So.
And that's what it is. I don't know what the topic is yet, but I want to talk about it. But it is informative, and that's something that is very important. Ann, you want to tell you about your family reunion? It turns out there are a lot of relatives here in Warwick. Why don't you tell us about
it? I hope some of you are listening this morning. I reminded you that we're on Thursdays. I did put on my Facebook page as well. So hopefully some of my family that live up here in Orange County right down the road We'll be listening this morning.
And please like us.
Shout out to you guys.
Yes, and please like us on Facebook.
As well as my cousins down in North Carolina who used to live up here. I told them to stream it online.
So. Yes, we are streaming online, and we do accept calls. Please call in if you have any questions that you may have in reference to the show. It's 561, and it's 1110. Okay, Dr. Susan Sobel, how are you? May I call you Susan for the
show? Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. And please call me Peter. Please call me Peter. Okay, I always get awkward when I'm saying doctor. I'm afraid I might call you Doc or something like that. And remember, I said that one time to a college professor. I called him Doc inadvertently, and he said, well, next time you call me that, you better have a carrot in your hand or something like that. So, but Susan, tell our listening audience something about yourself, and why did you choose the profession of physical therapy?
Okay, well, I always knew I wanted to be in the healthcare-related field. My mom actually happens to be a physical therapist, and when I was younger, I would go to work with her and volunteer at the facility that she works at, so I knew I wanted to work in some healthcare-related profession. I actually have a little bit of a unique background. I actually have my bachelor's in nursing. And
wow.
Then I went on,
we have another nurse. All right.
Yeah, and then
great.
I went on to get my doctorate in physical therapy. So, you know, I'm very fortunate to work in the field that I work in. I have two very rewarding professions, and it's really nice to be able to help people out and make a difference in their life, improve their mobility and function, and, you know, overall make their lives better. So it's very nice to be in a field where I get reward from it, too, by helping other people.
Right. I know, like, it's important. I mean, I remember I thought about going into the field. I remember I was in high school, and there was a picture of a guy lifting weights, and I said, he enjoys lifting weights and exercising, and he wants to pursue a career in physical therapy. I said, gee, maybe that might be for me. But at the time, I think it was just the University of Connecticut that had a program, something like that, that was going to be available. Let me start off with a simple question as far as sometimes there's confusion. Many times people have heard the term, but they're not sure exactly what it actually means. Now, could you please explain to our listening audience at WTBQ, what is the difference between a physical therapist and an occupational therapist?
Well, in some areas, there's a lot of overlap. It depends on what setting you're really working in. For example, I do some work in an inpatient rehab facility. So in that particular setting, a lot of the times, occupational therapists are working on things like transferring in and out of the shower, dressing skills, feeding skills, where the physical therapist would be working more on lower extremity, strengthening in ambulation, you know, training with assistive devices, a walker, a cane, or whatever they might need. So a lot of times the physical therapist is involved in wheelchair fitting and assessment. Mm-hmm. But like I said, there's a lot of overlap. Like, for example, in the home care setting, if a physical therapist and occupational therapist are out on the same case, they try and set different goals. So the occupational therapist might be working on upper extremity strengthening, whereas the physical therapist is working more on lower extremity strengthening.
So they do work together. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. They do
yes,
work together.
They do.
Yeah, we try and establish goals and, you know, make sure that we're working on, you know, overall strengthening the patient so they can achieve their best outcome.
Yeah, I always know, like with occupational therapy, that you always want to make sure that the you know, the individual doesn't necessarily have to be can be as independent as possible. That, you know, if they did have a stroke where they're unable to, you know, use the right arm or something like that, that they may have different devices that can help them be more independent like that.
Right. Yep.
Those are all like good examples. Okay, could you tell me one of the things as the director of education is that I train our HHAs, our home health care aides. And one of the difference between a personal care aide and a home health care aide is that a home health care aide is able to do more advanced skills. And one of them is range of motion exercise. Susan, can you explain, you know, the difference, different kinds of range of motion, and what is the important factor that you want to make sure that you're able to get out of it?
Sure, yeah. There's different types of range of motion. There's active range of motion where you're having the patient try and move the joint by themselves by utilizing their own muscle. Then you have passive range of motion for a patient that just doesn't have any muscle strength, and you're taking your own hands and placing it on the patient to help them get the range of motion that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's active assistive range of motion where the patient has some muscle strength, but they're not strong enough to fully move the joint through the full range of motion. So as a physical therapist, if we're going out to do an evaluation and establish a home exercise program and we determine that that's something that would benefit the patient, we can review that with the home health aide, you know, as well as implement a home exercise program and have them carry that out with the patient so that they can achieve the optimal level of function. you know, the issue is, as a therapist, you're limited to the amount of time you could be hands-on and be with the patient to treat them. So it's nice to have access to a home health aide or a caregiver that can help to implement the exercises and, you know, help them achieve the best outcome. But, you know, there's precautions you want to take with, you know, doing any type of range of motion exercises. You know, you never want to try and push the joint past any, you know, movement if there's any restrictions, because you don't want to, you know, tear any muscles or ligaments or cause any further pain. You know, there's certain ways you can hold and support the joint to
I remember my days in high school, and I hope this isn't going on now in high school, but they used to say no pain, no gain. It always, you got to hurt it in order to get it, and that really is not true.
No, that's not true. You know, especially the things that we're doing with patients, we want them to be able to do on their own and continue to do. So if you're hurting them, they're not going to want to do that. They're not going to want you to come back either. So we try and not make things painful. Obviously, you know, if you're recovering from a joint surgery or something, you're going to have pain, but it's our goal to try and help minimize that pain.
Okay. And you always want to make sure that you're listening to Health Matters. And this morning we have Dr. Susan Sobel, who has a doctorate in physical therapy. And when we come back, she will be going over some of the procedures, particularly knee replacements or hip replacements.
When you're in need of the finest healthcare services in the Hudson Valley, head on over to Middletown Medical in the Chester ShopRite Plaza. Our state-of-the-art Chester Center includes walk-in urgent care, primary and family care physicians, specialty medicine physicians, and Pediatric Express. Open 7 days a week and conveniently located, Middletown Medical's Chester Center is your answer to quality healthcare. For more information, visit MiddletownMedical.com or call 845-469-2692.
Super dads like you deserve super tools on Father's Day. So the Home Depot has the exclusive Husky 185-piece mechanics tool set at a new lower price of just $99. Sockets, wrenches, ratchets, and more. Guaranteed forever and under $100. Let's see if your kids inherited your sense of value as well as your good looks. Let's do this. Super tools for super dads this Father's Day at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through June 21st, U.S. only, see store for details.
These days, we're pinching pennies everywhere we can. On groceries, utilities, even insurance. But get into one car accident and your rates could rise as much as 40% just because of it. Suddenly your affordable insurance isn't. Unless you have Allstate Accident Forgiveness, then the accident won't make your rates go up at all. It's part of your choice auto, only from Allstate. Are you in good hands?
Start saving today. Call Allstate agent Dan Castricone first at 845-623-0202.
Hi, this is Orange County Executive Steve Newhouse. Join me and my guests every Monday on the Roundtable at 9 a.m. AM 1110, 93.5 FM, WTBQ.
Stephen is a real Clark Howard listener.
Clark Howard taught me how to pay myself first.
Redemption tastes sweet.
Teaching you ways to save for retirement.
Weekdays from 2 to 4, WTBQ.
WTBQ.
All right, and welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Feller from A&T Healthcare, and again, we are accepting any calls for Dr. Susan Sobel. It's 561-1110.
So Peter mentioned that you're a Dr. Susan Sobel.
We're able to call her Susan now.
But we can call you doctor. But what type of doctor are you?
So I have my doctorate in physical therapy. You know, the field of physical therapy is growing a lot now, and they really promote education. It used to be that you could have a bachelor's in physical therapy, and then they advanced to a master's degree. And now, to be entry-level physical therapist, you have to get your doctoral degree. But it really is advancing, and they also offer residencies and fellowship programs to further your education, as well as specialty certifications that you could get as well. So really, there's a lot of education out there. And even just to renew your license every 2 years, you need to have a certain amount of continuing education credit. Right. So they really promote education. And we're a very evidence-based type of practice. We really try and look at evidence and promote that into what we do on a daily basis to show, you know, that we're using science and utilizing our resources to help the patient the best we can.
Wow, so, what a change that's been.
It's been a huge change, and it's very nice. You know, I'm a member of the American Physical Therapy Association, and they really do a lot to support the therapists and, you know, promote the field, and it's really, it's a great field to be in.
Wow, great.
Isn't it very important, Susan, that a patient has to be highly motivated as far as getting the absolute best they can from physical therapy? Do you ever have some that really says, I don't feel like doing it. I don't feel like doing it.
Yeah, you know, you get patients that, you know, are kind of down because they've been through a lot, whether it's been a recent hospitalization, a recent surgery, you know, and there's always other things going on in patients' lives, whether it's family issues or other dynamics going on. But, you know, a lot of times it's the way the therapist interacts with the patient. If you can act to help, you know, encourage them and promote health and wellness into their life, they usually have, you know, a positive reaction to that. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel, but I know when I exercise, I get a boost and I feel better about life. Right. And
I get a boost coming to the radio station. I always say that. I get like a shot of endorphins when I come in there.
No, you're right.
I always say that. I really, like, look,
But you're right. I always say, like, I've been very delinquent at going to the gym for quite a few months. And but I know when I come out of the gym, I feel better. And I always say, why don't I just do this every day? Because I do feel better. You do. It boosts your endorphins. You just feel better about everything and more mobile. And
well, that's the thing, too. If you have a patient that hasn't been walking in months and you get in there and they're able to take two steps with the walker, that's a huge change in their life. And that motivates them because they want to do more and they want to progress. And they see the little changes and, you know, it makes a big difference.
It changes your whole quality of life.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know we wanted to talk a little bit about joint replacements. And
Let me go, if I could just go back to our Anne's family reunion, because many of our residents of Warwick, you know, we told them about our radio show. And Dan, if any of Anne's relatives stops by, tell them that we're only here on Thursday. I think they might have thought that this is where we work
they now.
If they come by, just say, no, you can find them at A&T Healthcare. But one of the things, I had a nice discussion with a lot of people that were there. And at one point, I thought it was a scene from Jaws. I can't believe it was 40 years. Jaws is going to be celebrating that 40 years that Jaws came out. And there's one scene where they're in the boat and one guy's, I got this arm here. This happened from some, you know, stingray fish. And they're all saying all these injuries. When I was talking to Anne's relatives, they were saying, I got this knee replacement done this time. And this one, I had a shoulder thing. I had a rotator cuff and I'm going this. And I said, I'm scheduled for knee replacement. And just kind of going back and forth. And one of the things that I always make a comparison and just see, is this legitimate? And then I'm going to lead on with the question, is that I always sometimes consider that comparing the human body to a car, okay? And I always say this about cars. Now, I know there's a lot of people that are very knowledgeable about cars, so they may dispute and call on and say, but I always feel that a car, it doesn't matter whether it's a Lexus, BMW, Mercedes, Chevrolet. After you've had the car for 60,000 miles, things are going to start to happen. Okay, things have to be repaired. Things have to be replaced. And I sometimes feel that that's a fair comparison to the human body, that as we age, we're going to need more repairs. We may need this. We may need that. So let me give the question that was asked. This is from Peter Hersack. Okay, sorry, he didn't call in, but he had a very good, legitimate question. This is his question. He's 57 years old. He said, Peter, I want to wait until I'm 60 years old to have my knee replacement. Because of what I've been told is that a knee replacement is only good for 15 years, so the longer I delay it, the better. I said, Peter, I don't think that's the philosophy now, but I will talk to Dr. Susan Sobel on our radio show. So, Susan, if you could please answer that question as to what is the philosophy as to when a knee replacement is indicated or how soon or whatever.
So really, you have to look at each individual patient, because if your friend is in so much pain and not able to function, then that would be the appropriate time for him to go for the surgery, because obviously you want to have a quality of life and be able to function in your daily routines. As far as the length of how long a knee replacement lasts, it used to be about 10 to 15 years, but they're coming up with a bunch of new technology and new materials that they're using to replace the knee. So those are lasting almost double that amount of time. So that's, you know, and even now they're coming out with more new technology where they're going to actually individualize the knee joint replacement to the individual person versus the normal standard titanium or whatever material that they're using. It'll be customized. So
Wow.
Yeah,
and it's not one size fits all necessarily.
Right. Right. Yeah. You know, everybody has different shapes and body sizes, and you know, they'll customize.
And women and men.
Exactly.
Are
yeah. And I mean, another thing is too, not necessarily everybody has to go for a total knee replacement. They also have partial knee replacements. So basically,
what's the difference on that?
Yeah. So basically, when they look at your knee to determine if you actually need knee surgery, they look at three different compartments of the knee, and basically, if two of the three compartments are damage, then they will typically do a total knee replacement. If, you know, you're younger and more active, only one compartment is damaged, they'll tend to do a partial knee replacement. So, I mean, there's pros and cons to both. Obviously, if you do the partial, there's an easier recovery from that.
Mm-hmm. And what's the, like, arthroscopic surgery? Now, that's probably the more basic one. Where does that fit in? That's something
least invasive. So, obviously, the least invasive procedure that you have, the better the recovery time is, because, you know, it used to be when they did a total knee that they had to cut through muscles and tendons to go in, but now they're coming out with more advanced procedures where they don't have to do so much trauma to the knee, and there's better recovery time and better function more quickly on, which is, right. Obviously the goal. You want to get stronger and back to normal.
Back on your feet as soon as possible.
Exactly.
I think there's one point, Susan, that you brought up, is that it really comes down to the quality of life. And I always remember, even when I had I did have a knee replacement. It was over 15 years. That's what was interesting. Gee, 15 years, I was supposed to be worrying about that date. And mm-hmm. I don't know, I just saw my doctor. Seems like it's fine. But what happens is that I remember the doctor saying, if it starts, what do you mean by impacting your quality of life? Well, let's say you have a grandson. I really don't want to go outside and play because my knees bother me. Oh, no, I really don't want to go here because I'll be standing too long, I'm going to have pain. Those are examples of your quality of life. And a lot of times you don't want to say, gee, well, let me just take something like a Tylenol or some kind of anti-inflammatory thing, just because that's what's that expression? It's like it's not solving the problem. It's curing the symptom, but not the
exactly.
problem.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. That's a problem, because most people try and put off the surgery, and they'll try and get injections, and they'll try and take pain medications to suppress the pain, but it's not really solving the underlying issue. So, And they say, the younger you are, the easier it is to recover from something like that. But obviously, it's based on the individual and where you are and how much pain and discomfort you're having as well. So,
what are some of the reasons for joint replacement?
Well, there's different types of arthritis that you could have. Mm-hmm. So basically, what happens is the wearing down of the surface of the joint. And there's different types of arthritis that could make that worse. There's also the fact that we're a younger population. For example, the baby boomers are much more active now, so there's a lot more wear and tear on the joints, and which is a great thing because we're active and living healthy lifestyles. But at the same time, you're doing a lot more wear and tear on the joints. Right. So, if you're overweight, that could put more stress on your joints as well. There's a lot of things you could do to try and prevent these things. Unfortunately, there's genetic issues. You're more predisposed to certain diseases, arthritis. If you have rheumatoid arthritis or osteoarthritis, those are not really things that you could prevent. You could help treat some of the symptoms, but, eventually it will cause degeneration in the joint surfaces. So,
and also injury, I guess. We hear about sports figures injuring their joints and being out for periods of time.
People that you don't even have to be an athlete, but even like this, the winter that we had with people slipping on ice and injuring themselves. See, I'm letting everyone know I'm scheduled for a knee replacement in January, but which we'll talk later. I have another question to ask about it. But just the idea that this is clearly elective surgery, and whereas many people that might have slipped or had some trauma to it, they really didn't have this. You have to get it done now and stuff.
Right, yeah.
You might say it's elective, but at the same point, like you said, if it's impacting your quality of life, and you're talking about things like playing with your grandchild, but what about just walking up and down stairs?
Right.
Or getting up and down from a chair, sitting position to standing position, getting out of bed in the morning. I know I'm a little stiff from time to time getting out of bed in the morning, and those, that's an impact too. If you don't want to go downstairs to do the laundry because it hurts.
Right.
That is your day-to-day life. That's your daily activities that's impeded. So I wouldn't necessarily say that, even though they might call it elective, it's certainly impacting your life on a day-to-day basis. And if you can't do those simple tasks, it's necessary.
Right.
And I know even like with your joints, I know we were talking about your education. Now, Susan, do you know every bone in the body, every muscle in the body
yeah.
or what?
They put you through a lot of training as far as anatomy. We had to do cadaver dissection.
Wow. You did, yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've seen what's actually going on underneath all the skin and, you know, where all the muscles attach and the bones. The body is an amazing thing. It's really fascinating, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's nice to be able to see that. You know, I've actually seen these surgeries done, the total knee, total hip replacements. Yes. And actually visualize that, you have a much better understanding of what's actually going on, the mechanics.
So you were not doing surgical procedures?
Yeah, during my training in school, I had the opportunity to observe several surgeries, and it really puts it all together when you see that, you know?
Yes, yes. Gosh.
I guess your nursing background helped a little bit, too.
It helped a lot, yeah. You know, just even as far as, you know, pain management with medications and timing of when you get therapy and, you know, little things like that make a big difference in your rehab, so.
That's a good point you made about the pain medication, so. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can talk a little more about that.
Yeah, okay. And you're listening to Health Matters, A&T Healthcare. And when we come back, we will be talking about sports medicine and how it impacts physical therapy and being utilized.
Did you know that the Warwick Valley Dispatch is one of the few independently owned and operated papers in the country, and that they've been run by the same family since 1885, and that every edition is printed at the Dispatch building in Warwick? The Warwick Valley Dispatch is also the official newspaper of the Warwick Valley and Florida school districts, the town of Warwick, the villages of Warwick and Florida, the Warwick, Florida, and Pine Island Fire Districts, and the Albert Wisner Public Library. To advertise or subscribe to Warwick's hometown newspaper, call 986-2216 today. Shop local. Read the Warwick Valley Dispatch.
Hello, my name is Wisner Buckby, and I'm a local farm manager with an office located on Wisner Road in the town of Warwick. I am also a Warwick Valley Rotary Club member. Were you aware that we provide resources and funds for the Ecumenical Council Emergency Fund and Meals on Wheels in Warwick? To find out how you can make a difference in your community, call 845-986-3387, and you too can learn to put service above self.
Hi, this is Dr. David Leach, the superintendent of the Warwick Valley Central School District and host of Your Schools. Listen every Monday at 12 noon to learn what's happening in your schools right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
This is attorney Bob Krahulik of the law firm Beatty & Krahulik, the lawyer guy on WTBQ Radio. Tune in every Thursday at 11:30 a.m. for the latest in legal advice and tips. We're taking calls and giving answers to all your legal questions and issues on WTBQ.
WTBQ Weather.
It'll get more humid as we go through the day. Showers and a thunderstorm if possible today as temperatures head to the upper 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, humid with a lower 60s. Tomorrow, look for clouds and some sunshine, rather warm and humid again, with showers and thunderstorms during the afternoon. We'll see a high back to the upper 80s. Tomorrow night, a few more showers or thunderstorms around. It'll remain sticky, low in the mid-60s. And for Saturday, look for clouds and sun. It'll be warm and humid. Chance of shower or thunderstorm in the afternoon and a high in the middle 80s. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Salima.
WTBQ.
And welcome back. We are here on Health Matters. Why? Because your health matters. That's why we're here. Okay. All right. We're here with Dr. Susan Sobel, who has a doctorate in physical therapy, and of course, my wife Ann Fellows, the regional director of Haitian Services at A&T Healthcare. And today's subject, we're talking about physical therapy. One of the things that I'm talking about, I know Hannah Plummer. We had a board meeting the other night, and we were talking about how physical therapy and sports, how there's so much interaction. And I want to talk about a couple of things that we're talking about. We always hear about Tommy John surgery. I know it was interesting, but Stroudsburg, he's the pitcher for Washington. He had Tommy John surgery done. And they never did this when I was growing up, but they counted how many innings he would pitch. In fact, they were so strict is that Washington actually made the playoffs, and they wouldn't let him pitch because of the recovery. They didn't want to do him. The other thing was they talk about the rotator cuff. Those are other injuries that you see with sports. But now they call it sports medicine. The old days, it used to be called orthopedic surgery. Now it's sports medicine. I think it makes it sound more glamorous. More glamorous. Oh, yes. Oh,
well, orthopedic cuff.
At one point, they thought I had a rotator cuff. Was like, that would, oh, man, that's like, that means you're a pitcher. That means you pitch
sports
baseball.
Sports medicine, you're more mobile
but,
and more.
But the other thing that we were talking about, like with surgery, is that even in football, is what they're doing in football is they're trying to change the game. They're saying that you can't hit up above, you have to hit them lower. But when you hit them lower, they sustain knee injuries, right, which in fact can become career-ending injuries. You know, I know when you get hit in the head, a concussion, you know, that's, you know, there's no formula that says, oh, here, you're going to have some kind of, you know, later on in life may have some form of dementia. But many times everyone's getting hit lower and they're more prone to injuries. Could you just tell us a little bit about, like, how sports medicine plays into physical therapy? And I know we were talking, I did mention something about motivation, but clearly if you were a professional athlete and you had this surgery, boy, you would be highly motivated to get back to speed to where you were prior to your injury. But if you could talk a little bit on
that,
Susan.
Absolutely. I mean, depending on what kind of sport you're involved in, you know, you're at risk for certain types of injuries. Obviously, like with football, you're at risk for ACL tears, any type of ligament tears are common in that sport. And, you know, then there's other sports like tennis, baseball, where you're doing that repetitive movement with your arm and your shoulder, so you're more right. prone to the wear and tear mm-hmm. on that joint. And when you're, you know, pitching seven innings in a game, you're obviously going to have complications over time related to that, whether it's arthritis, a tendonitis, bursitis, a tear. Right, you know, there's right. a lot of different things. So, you know, sports medicine is really a huge and growing field as well. Like I said earlier, you know, we're getting more active as a society. So, you know, people are more involved in sports and active. And, you know, it could be something as little as, you know, an ankle sprain that's, you know, inhibiting you from running or participating mm-hmm. in sports yeah. that, you know, if you get the proper rehab and the proper treatment for that, right. you know, it could get you back to moving quicker and sooner. So
I know even when you're young and stuff like that, I know, like, even when I was growing up, like, my father, you never should throw a curveball when you're growing and stuff like that. Because, oh, you don't do that. I believe you have a caller on the line. Hi, welcome. You're on Health Matters.
Yeah, hi. I have a question for Dr. Sobel.
Yes.
This past Sunday, doctor, I was playing soccer. I haven't played in over 30 years. I'm 46 years old. And I went up for a header, and I came back down. And when I came back down, my right knee, I felt something pretty painful. And I went to the doc, my primary care physician, and he tested out my knee, and he said that it was, he thought it was quadricep related, the tendon from the quadricep to the patella. And he told me that it should heal, just give it time and build myself back up slowly again. But I want to know if there's a difference the way I should be feeling if there's a tear or a tendonitis thing going on. Is there, would I be able to walk if I had a tear? There?
No, most likely you wouldn't be able to walk. I mean, because you have a lot of instability there in the joint. Do you feel like you have instability right now?
Yeah, I feel a clicking going on when uh-huh. I bend my knee completely straight and then bend it down again.
And where is the pain that you're feeling?
It's right above my kneecap.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, definitely, did they do any x-rays at all?
No x-rays. He just moved my leg around up and down, left and right, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if the pain is still there and you're still uncomfortable, how long ago was this injury?
This happened Sunday, last weekend.
Yeah, you know, sometimes there's like an inflammation process that goes on after an injury, like, in, you know, where, you know, you just need time for it to rest it and it come down. But if you're still having pain like that, I would definitely seek further treatment and, you know, either talk to the doctor about getting an x-ray or some MRI type of imaging because, you know, the clicking is a little concerning because, you know, you want to make sure you don't have a meniscal tear or any other type of tear going on so that you could get the proper treatment and not let it go on and cause more damage. So
okay.
I would definitely look further into it because, you know, if you let something go like this, you could end up causing more problems long run. But in
right.
the meantime, I would definitely try and rest it, ice it, compression, elevation, you know, just to try and keep the inflammation down and stay off of it as much as possible.
Okay. I mean, I can walk for miles. It's just that when I bend it 90 degrees is when I have the pain. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a common thing. I mean, it could be that the tendon, you know, is irritated, but I doubt you have a tear if you're able to do that. You know, I have to see you and see how what your range of motion is like and where exactly at that point you have the pain. So it's hard to do talking on the radio without physically having my hands on and seeing you as a patient. So, but if you're still uncomfortable, I would definitely say that you should really get it, you know, look into it.
Okay.
All right,
thanks,
good luck.
Dr.
I hope you feel better.
Thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Yep.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So one of the things that we want to talk about is how physical therapy and home care work together. I know one of the things that's very important, and I've always stressed, is that one of the things that the healthcare paradigm has changed, that people are being discharged from the hospital sooner. And one of the things, if someone were to have a knee replacement or a hip replacement, this is really where home care comes in the sense that you don't have to spend another week in the hospital to get physical therapy. If you can have it in the comfort of your home with your family, your pets, your garden, or what have you. Could you tell us about how home care works with the physical therapy?
Sure, absolutely. You know, and like you said, most patients are very happy to be home and out of the hospital setting, be in the comfort of their own home, eat their own meals, and be able to enjoy the company of their family. So basically, when I go out to a patient's home, I evaluate their living situation and try and make it as safe and as functional for them as possible. So, you know, we get a lot of different diagnoses of people coming out of the hospital. It's not always necessarily a total hip and total knee.
Because yeah, you tell us the types of patients that you may have. You know, I know those are the main players. I know the hip and knee, but tell us a bit more about the other kinds of patients that you have at A&T doing the home care.
I mean, any type of patient that could be hospitalized, we get on our services essentially. So you have patients with neurological diagnoses as far as Parkinson's, stroke, MS, you know, Alzheimer's disease, right. We get everything. And, you know, we have cardiac patients with congestive heart failure and pulmonary patients with COPD. And you have patients that have just, you know, been hospitalized for, you know, an infection and they're very deconditioned from being in the hospital and then they're sent home. Right. And, you know, sometimes it takes a lot of extra work to get, you know, readjusted to your home situation. For example, you know, things that people don't think about on a daily basis is getting into your house. Do you have stairs to get into your house?
Right.
Getting in and out of the shower. You know, what I could do is help order equipment and help make it safe and effective to, you know, get back to your normal style living, getting in and out of the shower, dressing yourself independently, being able to access things in your kitchen, reaching into cabinets, you know, things of that nature
that you take for granted on
a daily basis.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
when
exactly.
you're weak and deconditioned, you don't, you're not, you know, these things are a chore and hard for you to do. So
part of going into the home is also assessing the home and what type of adaptive equipment you might need.
Absolutely. That's a big part of what
safe.
I do. Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, a lot of the times, what I do is I implement a home exercise program when I'm in the home with the patient so that they could be exercising and regaining strength and mobility based on that. You know, I do a lot of gait training, practice getting into the house, getting in and out of the car, things that you don't think would be an issue, but after a surgery, they could be taxing on you and unsafe if you're not doing it properly. Mm-hmm. So,
Are there any limitations to working at home on PT?
As far as, you know, equipment, is that what you're referring to?
Is it better to go to an outpatient or?
It's really based on the individual. Mm-hmm. I think everyone can benefit from some therapy in the home just to have an evaluation. And, you know, I can make any suggestions whether or not it's safe or make any recommendations for adaptive equipment for them. Right. You know, as someone progresses in therapy and, you know, is able to tolerate basic exercise, it's always good for them to try and get to outpatient to progress. You know, as far as using equipment like bikes and treadmills, and obviously I can't take that into every person's home. So, you know, it helps in that aspect when you're trying to progress and, you know, further your range of motion and strength. So
really, like being receiving that initial home care visit for physical therapy does help to strengthen the person so that they can get to the point where they can get in and out of the car and then get to an outpatient program.
Yeah. And that's really the goal of why I'm going to the home is to progress them and be able to get them comfortable with getting in and out of the car and in and out of the house.
And the showers are all different. The cars are all different, right?
Yep.
The stairs.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, I mean, the goal is we want to progress them as far as we can. So, you know, that initial home therapy session and visit to get them going is really a huge asset in their recovery and what they can eventually tolerate and get out to outpatient. So,
We talked a lot about joint replacement. So when someone like Peter is planning to have a total knee replacement, is there anything that you can do ahead of time to prepare yourself physically for, does somebody come to physical therapy maybe before having joint replacement?
Absolutely. It's actually very essential.
I'm writing notes right now, by the way.
I'll send you my bill later. No, but it's really essential, actually, before you go in for any type of joint replacement, to be as strong and as flexible as possible, because that's really going to impact the outcome of the surgery.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of people go to physical therapy before and get a home exercise program, because even though, let's say you're going in for your knee, mm-hmm. you really want your hip and ankle to be strong as well, because if your knee is weak, you need to have strong joints around it to be able to support the weak area, and you want to work on both legs, obviously. So if it's your right knee, you want to make sure your left knee is strong, because you're going to be depending more on the left knee. So, you know, you definitely need to try and get as strong as possible before the surgery, because it will affect your outcome.
You don't want to end up injuring the better part of your body, right?
And that happens sometimes, honestly. You know, if you had surgery on your right leg and you're overcompensating by using your left, you get bursitis and other issues, tendonitis.
Back problems and stuff.
Then you can't do anything.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, you have to have a nice foundation. And even as far as, I remember one time my doctor, Nike came out with these new sneakers, $200. And I said, you know, Dr. Casper, should I get these sneakers? He waved his hand. Oh, you don't need to spend that kind of money. Just get like a good support thing. And that's important, that you have the nice foundation that's there. And they used to say, you know, replace your sneakers, not your knees and stuff like that. You always want to make sure that they're cushioned. Okay, so when we come back, we will be talking about more so about the surgery that I'm going to be having. Not that I'm going to be going into any graphic details or anything, but just to do more follow-up as far as like post-operatively after the surgery. You're listening to Health Matters, and I'm Peter Feller. You're listening to Health Matters.
A comfortable retirement is something everybody wants to have, but planning for can be frightening. Finding someone you could trust who can make it easy to understand shouldn't be. At Warwick Valley Financial Advisors, planning is what we do, and we do it well. If you'd like to see if we can help you, call us for a free consultation. 845-981-7300. Call us for a free consultation today at 981-7300. We're located in the Clock Tower Building at 65 Main Street. Do you know if you'll have enough money to live on during your retirement? Hi, I'm Ken Ford with the Warwick Valley Financial Advisors, and host of From Wall Street to Main Street. When speaking with people who are about to retire, their biggest fear is running out of money in retirement. Most tell me that they've never sat down to figure out if their retirement is safe. We listen to your goals and review your entire situation so we can customize a strategy especially for you. We're located in the Clock Tower Building here in Warwick. For a free consultation, give us a call, 981-7300.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. 800-363-8957.
Hi, this is Orange County Executive Steve Newhouse. Join me and my guests every Monday on the Roundtable at 9 a.m. AM 1110, 93.5 FM, WTBQ.
Hi, this is Wild Baby Love. I'd like you to join me on WTBQ every Sunday morning at 6 a.m. for praise and worship. I'll give you the phone number to the Faith phone line on Gospel Tracks with yours truly. Who? How about Wild Baby Love?
WTBQ.
And welcome back. This is Health Matters. Your health does matter. Of course it matters. So you always say. Susan, really, thank you so much. I always say that our show is that we want to educate and inform our listening audience. And what always happens is I wind up learning something about what's happening and things. So I'm taking notes. It's very hard. We're talking, but I'm taking notes as what Dr. Sobel is saying. I have a question. What can I expect post-operatively after my knee replacement? when I get in the home setting, and A&T is going to take care of me when I'm home. I know that.
That's right. Because that's one of the things you have to plan. Like, you have to arrange what's going to happen afterwards.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Right. Well, you'll be in good hands. I could tell you that.
Oh, okay,
we have
great
team.
You already got Susan on board.
Yeah, so, I mean, basically, after a knee replacement, it's not going to be easy. You're going to have pain and discomfort, but the goal of, the knee rehab is to regain full range of motion again, or as close to full range of motion as you can. So, you know, you're going to be doing a lot of exercises,
okay.
Stretching,
yep.
You know, a lot of hands-on therapy to help loosen up and strengthen muscle and regain the, you know, most amount of mobility that you can in the joints. So, you know, usually there's some swelling related to post-op surgery. So we'll work on controlling, you know, swelling and, you know, elevating your legs to help decrease edema. And working on getting you back to normal walking and functioning. So, you know, that's usually what the process is. So, you know, and obviously seeing how you function at home, if you need adaptive equipment to be able to get in and out of the shower or in and out of the car, stairs, you know, that's all things that we work on in the home setting.
So when you're post-op like that and you're going to be having some physical activity, what about, you know, is there something you should do maybe to control the pain beforehand?
Absolutely, yeah. So usually, you know, your surgeon will provide you with some type of pain medication to help with the pain management. And then based on when your physical therapy is scheduled, it's usually good to take a pain medication at least an hour prior to starting therapy so that you're able to move.
Right.
Because the goal of rehab is to get you moving. And if you're in pain and you're in discomfort, you're not going to want to move. So, you know, sometimes, not that we want you getting hooked on pain medication, but you kind of have to get an even balance of, you know, to control the pain and be able to move the leg, because if you're not moving the leg, you're not going to gain the function back.
Right.
So.
And as you start moving, it improves over time. And then you don't need the pain medication as much, or maybe just an anti-inflammatory or something
like
that.
Yeah. No, it plays a huge role in rehab for sure. So.
I just wanted to share a story. As I always say, we're all users of the healthcare system. And I remember my shoulder was bothering me to beat the band. I saw my surgeon, and what she prescribed is she prescribed physical therapy, that's your department, for 2 months. After the 2 months, it still wasn't working. I was in pain. I was then scheduled for an MRI, and when the surgeon said, I think you have a torn rotator cuff. I said, but I never pitched, I didn't pitch any baseball. It was on my left arm. I said, I'm right-handed, so I wasn't throwing from pitching. But anyway, what happened was is that when it came back, it turned out that it was all arthritic, and it was all this calcification that was there. I received a cortisone shot, and that was like 4 years, and my shoulder has been fine. My question is, why didn't I get the MRI at the beginning of the thing? Because, as I said, the physical therapy was not going to do anything with the calcification and the arthritis.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of restrictions as far as what insurance allows and, you know, depending on what your situation is. But a lot of the times the doctor will send you for more conservative treatment before sending you for an MRI, because if the physical therapy helps and they don't have to spend the insurance doesn't have to cover the cost of an MRI, which is very expensive. So, you know, I'm sure that they wanted to see if the therapy would help you prior to going through that.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of changes to the healthcare system that are really impacting physical therapy and obviously other medical resources that we have. You know, it limits the amount of therapy you could have depending on your diagnosis and what your particular situation is. So, unfortunately,
that's always a hard thing, right?
That's part of the decision making is your insurance company, not just how you feel or what you need or, you know, what might get you better quicker,
I
suppose.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and also in other countries, they also have a lot more preventative type of medicine, too.
Right.
Like, you know, like you could get physical therapy just to maintain your health, not because you're sick already, you know.
And that is the focus, is preventative medicine first. And I actually saw a commercial a couple days ago. It was a little girl going to the doctor, and she kept saying, I'm not sick, I'm not sick. Well, she wasn't sick. She was there for a well visit.
Right.
And so you see, they're encouraging more wellness and staying healthy, you know, to prevent.
And that's what we have been talking about, that a lot of times we say, I can't go to the gym, or I can't go for a walk, or I can't exercise because I'm in pain. Well, you know what? Sometimes, as I said, talk to your doctor first, but maybe that may be the way to resolve the pain, even that you said.
Right.
And you said that
what
sometimes.
What do they say? A body in motion stays in motion.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, too. Like, we get a lot of elderly patients that are complaining that they have arthritic pain.
Right.
But one of the best things you could do for that is stay mobile and keep yourself moving, because if you're not moving the joint, it's just going to get stiffer and more uncomfortable. So
and you got to keep your muscles strong.
Right, exactly.
Because your muscles help your joints. Support
even
your
with
joints.
Osteoporosis and stuff like that, I mean, with women, that was a big thing that they said. I remember Jack Lane always said, oh, women should be lifting weights. He says, oh, what are you talking about? But that is very important. Just doing simple, arm motions. Tell us about osteoporosis preventive.
Yeah, I mean, especially for women, you really want to try and do some weight-bearing exercises to get the compressive force through the joint, you know, and help stabilize the muscles mm-hmm. around it. When you have strong muscles to stabilize the joint, it really, you know, the systems work together. You have your skeletal structure, and then you have your muscle structure. And when they're both strong, you know, you want that, then you get your optimal level of functioning. So, you mm-hmm. know, just doing things like taking walks and staying active okay. really helps you stay healthy and, you know, helps with the joints and
And that's important, Susan. It doesn't mean that you have to run a marathon.
Right.
Just going for a nice, brisk walk. I believe you have a caller on the line. Hi, welcome to Health Matters.
Hi, it's Jay from A&T Healthcare.
Hi, Jay. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Very good.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about next week's
next
program?
Next week's show, yes.
Next week we have, Lois Tenenbaum coming in. She is the president of the board of the directors for the Brain Injury Association of New York State. She's going to be talking about, brain injuries, traumatic brain injuries, acquired brain injury, and some events they have coming up and some events that they did in the recently to maybe get some awareness for brain injury in New York State.
Right. Great. So
yeah, we look forward to having her on.
Okay, good. And you were able to attend the conference last week in Albany, correct?
Yes, I was.
Oh, good. And very good.
Oh, great.
Meet a lot of nice people there. So I definitely want to talk a little bit about that next week when we call.
And you're going to join us in the studio, correct, Jay?
I am.
That's going to be great. That's going to be great. Maybe we'll let
house.
You do a little rendition of a doo-wop or something if we have time, but things go so quickly. Jay, thank you so much for calling.
Thanks,
okay?
We look forward to seeing you next week.
Look forward to next time.
Jay is from our Kingston office, so we'll be excited to have him come.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Jay. Yeah, just very quickly, Susan, one last question. What are some tips that you can give to our seniors that would help them in their mobility?
Yeah, actually, that's a very good thing to bring up. There's a lot of safety precautions you could take in advance to avoid falls and other incidents in the home. Just even by the type of shoes that you wear. A lot of elderly people tend to wear slippers. They're not the best to walk in because your foot could slide out of it and twist your ankle.
What about the socks? Don't wear socks.
Socks. And that's
socks
the other
and
thing,
no
too.
Shoes? Yeah.
Socks and no shoes. You know, if you're on a slippery floor, you're more at risk for falling. The other thing is removing throw rugs that are lying around because those cause falls very often because your foot gets caught on the corner of the rug and, you know, you have a slip and fall. And, you know, little things like installing grab bars in the shower because, you know, whenever you add the element of water, you're more at risk for falling because it's a slippery surface. So putting grab bars in, making sure your railings are secure on the stairs, having well-lit rooms to make sure that you could see the stairs when you're going down the stairs or any obstacles in the way. You know, I've been in a lot of houses and there's some people that tend to like to leave clutter around and just simple things on the floor could cause a fall.
Wow. Yeah.
Pets, you have to be careful with pets as well.
Right. You said, you know, keeping a light on, a night light. And in my house, that would never work because it has to be totally dark. But I like to have a little light if I have to get up, during the night. And I am like sometimes a little hesitant, like, did I leave anything on the floor? Is the dog in the way? Am I going to trip? Because she's brown and the carpet is dark and the room is dark. And I'm like, I've tripped over her a few times.
Yeah.
With the lights and everything like that. All right, Susan, Dr. Sobel, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's been very informative. I learned so much. It was great. And you're a wonderful speaker. And can we have you back again on
the
show?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me today.
That would be great. I do want to remind our listening audience, please like us on Facebook, okay? You could just go to A&T Healthcare. And like us on Facebook because we're going to have a lot of interaction. We're going to be posting a lot of our recordings that we've had. And I think this is all what's perfect. Do you want to add anything?
No, I think that I'm looking forward to next week's program. This was a very good program, and I've learned a lot myself. So thank you, Susan.
Okay, Susan, thank you so much. And as I always end our show, stay healthy because your health matters. And to you, your friends, and family, I wish you all the best. See you next week. Have a good week. Thank you.
your community radio station since 1969.
WTBQ, Warwick, Florida.
From ABC News, I'm Doug Limerick, still a